As we just ask that you guide, lead, and direct in all things. Lord, we need to hear from thee today. And we just pray that thy will would be done in the services this morning. Lord, that we would look into the book of Acts and see the things that you have us to see. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. And we'll have a happy resurrection sort of service at the 11 o'clock time. I'm going to go ahead and continue our Bible study through the book of Acts. And we're in Acts chapter 3. We had made it through about verse 18, but we'll back up a little bit and go back to verse 17. The Bible says, "Now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it as also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled." And again, it's pretty interesting that he says all the prophets, you know, pointed to Christ. The problem you have in Israel's case is that they did not recognize that Jesus Christ was going to suffer and then reign later. And there's a gap in between the two of thousands of years. They were looking for a conquering Savior. Isaiah 61, we looked at one of those. We looked at that passage. And in Isaiah 61, you see that 2,000-year gap right there at the comma. So they're looking for a conquering Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But what we understand is that, you know, he was coming to die on the cross. All the prophets, evidently, if you search hard enough, you'll see that they pointed to that. Verse 19. Now here's where it gets a little tricky. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So he says, repent. So the title today is Israel's National Repentance. They were told to repent. God wanted to deal with a nation. He brought them out in the Exodus out of Egypt. He chose them. He gave them a law. Many things that you see with Israel are unique. The church is not Israel. Israel's not the church. You're not a Jew. In fact, you're not even a Gentile. Because you're Jew, Gentile, or the church of God. Once you're saved, there's neither Jew nor Greek in the body of Christ. Therefore, you're not Jew and Gentile. You're part of the body, and you're part of the church of God. So you have lost and saved. Jew, Gentile, unredeemed. And then you have the saved. So even a Jew, when he says, "Well, I'm a Messianic Jew," that's about like saying, "I'm Asian American." You know, not really a great way of designating yourself or separating yourself. We ought to quit looking at the races so much and just say, "Hey, you know what we are? We're Americans. We pledge allegiance to the flag. We stand for the national anthem. We bow before the cross if you're saved." That's the way it ought to be. Now, all that's changed because we got some people that believe in, you know, social causes and using the national anthem as a political thing, unfortunately. But going back to verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Now, nowhere in the Bible does it ever tell anybody but Israel, and this is Acts 3:19, to be converted. Only Israel and the Jews were told to be converted. Now, I know we say, "Well, I was converted to Christ," or "I was converted at salvation." And the terminology is fine because the concept is there, but biblically, the only ones converted are the nation of Israel. Let's run some passages. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and let me show you what I mean by this conversion has to do with, you know, Jews or the nation of Israel. Verse 10, he says in Isaiah 6, verse 10, verse 9, he said, "Go and tell this people." When you see this people, it's the nation of Israel. "Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." talking about the nation of Israel, this people, that is always in the Old Testament and much of the New, the nation of Israel. When you look at Matthew chapter 13, he quotes Isaiah. Go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 13 and look what it says there about this thing, this convert. Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 15. The Bible says, "For this people's heart," again, nation of Israel, "is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." He's quoting Isaiah there, and he's it's the same type of thing. Now turn to John chapter 12, John 12:37. Look at what the Bible says here. This thing on conversion, you know, repent and be converted. We're talking about national Israel. Chapter 12, look at verse 37. The Bible says, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet," that's Isaiah, "might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, he hath blinded the eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." So you see that again and again, but look at verse 37, "they believe not on him." The context there is they believe not, and so they would not, then they could not. You see that there in verse 39. So in verse 37, "but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, they would not." Look at verse 39. "Therefore they could not believe." You harden your heart, God will harden. It's like Pharaoh. The Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but before that happens, you go back and it says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Therefore, everybody is accountable to God for their actions and their choices and their decisions. And nobody can say, "Well, it's God's fault because I did not have the freedom to choose." We all have that freedom. Look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 talks about the parables there in verse 12. Look at what he says here about, you know, this conversion thing. Mark 4, look at verse 12. "That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." You want to be blind? God will let you be blind. You want to be deaf to the spiritual things? God will let you be deaf. You have to have ears to hear. You have to open up your ears. That's what the Bible talks about. You have to decide that I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Now, in the book of Acts, Acts is a transition book. Starts with Peter, it ends with Paul. Starts in Jerusalem, it ends in Rome, a Gentile nation. Starts with them going to the Jews only. And then later on, Paul's saved. You see Stephen stoned in Acts 7. Acts 9, Acts 8, you're introduced to Saul, whose name is Paul. Acts 9, he gets saved on the road to Damascus. And then you follow Paul's missionary journeys from Acts 13 to Acts 28. Three times in the book of Acts, Acts 13, Acts 18, and Acts 28, the Bible says that they hardened their hearts and they blasphemed. And then three times, Paul says, "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." So what God did was God's going to use the Gentiles to bring them to jealousy, the Bible says. And you'll see that in Acts 13. And there's a geographic area. And then from then on, no signs or wonders were done in that area. Because the Jews require a sign. Tongues are for a sign. The healing was for a sign. It was for the Jew. It wasn't for us. We seek after, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. During the first century, the Jews didn't have the Word of God. So they needed those signs and wonders. Acts 18, you see it again. I believe that's in Europe. I'll tell you what, turn to Acts 13. Let me run these for you, because I don't think I've taught on this in here yet. In Acts 13, look at verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the men and brethren. He's talking to his fellow man, the Jews, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are what? Justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that come upon you, which is spoken by the prophets. Behold, you despisers and wonders. And he goes on from there. What am I looking for? I am looking for 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you, but seeing ye put it far from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So you see that in Acts 13. Now look at Acts 18. Acts 18, you can tell I hadn't taught this for a while because I couldn't even remember where it was. Verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed of the Spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So who's he speaking to in Acts 18? He's speaking to those Jews. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go into the Gentiles. Well, I thought he already said that in Acts 13. He did. In that geographic region, he never went back to the Jews. He never followed it up. And you know, in other words, they were given an advantage to the Jew first during this time. Then when they blasphemed and rejected the truth, Acts 13, that nation in that geographic area is cut off. Acts 18, same thing. I believe he's in Europe. Let me look at that for sure. He's in Corinth. And he says, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, Acts 28 is where I wanted you to go. And let's look at this truth. This is the finality of the nation of Israel. Acts 18. You could go, well, I don't know, 26. We'll just jump in the middle here. Saying, go unto this people. So who is that? Nation of Israel. And say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Sounds like Isaiah again. For the heart of this people, nation of Israel, is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You see that conversion again. Who's he talking to? The nation of Israel. So again, it's important to understand those distinctions, because if you don't make a distinction between the Jew and the Gentile, at least in the Bible, then you'll read things and you won't understand why. I thought, you know, all Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were talking about the church. Well, they're not. The church is still, he said, I will build my church. It was on the horizon yet. The empowerment of the church comes in Acts chapter 2. With the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and all those thereafter are baptized with the Holy Ghost. But when you look at this, when he says, this people, Israel, converted Israel. So it's okay, again, I don't want you to be nitpickers. I don't want you to think, well, you know, if somebody says they got converted, we need to straighten them out. It's not a big deal. I just want you to understand biblically and scripturally, when you're looking at converted, you're looking at the nation of Israel. Verse 28, this is Acts 28:28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. And look at what it says. And they will hear it. Wow, aren't you glad? Amen. That's why we got in. So the nation of Israel rejects the Messiah. They put him on a cross. Well, that was foretold from the very beginning, but it doesn't mean that Judas can say, well, you know, God, you made me do it. Judas made a conscious decision to do it. What about the Pharisees? Well, as we've read over and over again, they were worried about losing their position and place to Rome or to Jesus. So what they say, we need to crucify him. What about Lazarus being resurrected from the... Well, people are believing on Jesus because of Lazarus. We need to kill him too. I mean, that's what religion will do to you. Religion is not a good thing. Christianity is. Relationship is. Religion, now there's a pure religion. I, you want to nitpick me to death. The Bible talks about it. I'm not ignorant of it. But I want you to understand, and you know what? You ought to be religious about most anything. I eat religiously. That just means I eat, you know, I eat every day. I drink water religiously. I come to church religiously. But we're talking about, you know, what would that be, an adverb, maybe a verb, whatever. But I guess I shouldn't have said it if I didn't really study it out and figure out, make sure I know what I'm talking about. But religion has done more damage than most anything else in the world. The reason that we fight over Israel is because of religion. What do you got there? You know, you got Catholics, Muslims, Jews, all of them say, you know, they own, you know, Jerusalem is their home and they own it. I mean, if you go over there, you have them, you know, they pretty much, you know, stop the blowing up of buses and stuff, but they're pretty strict over there. I mean, when you go through their security to come into the country, man, they stopped me and, you know, they actually took, when I was coming, let me see, when I was getting on the plane to come out, they actually took my tripod and broke the leg on my tripod to see if there was anything in there. I mean, broke the leg. And then they put this little thing in there and says, you know, your stuff was searched by the, you know, Israeli Defense Force or whoever it is for them. And you know, I'm just like, good night. You got to break my tripod? Did I look like I was a terrorist? Look at this face. I mean, come on. Would you break my tripod? Oh, you say, yeah, I would too. Going back to, look at James chapter 5. Let me throw a little kink in here. James chapter 5 is an interesting passage in here. Because now this is an individual conversion. James 5:19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So now that conversion is on an individual level. So there is, in that respect, a conversion of an individual. I don't want you to get confused. Two more verses on this. Look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19, I think it's going to be, let's see what verse it's going to be. Psalm 19, look at verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And then it goes into the statutes, verse 8. But look at what it says. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So how does the law convert the soul? Well, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. So the law converts the soul in that it shows you I'm a sinner. Everybody wants to compare themselves, and they do it. What should you compare yourself with? The law. People say, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. You don't. You say it to them, well, tell me the Ten Commandments. They can't even tell you the Ten Commandments. You mean you've never broken the Ten Commandments? No, the Ten Commandments is there as a schoolmaster, as is the law to convert the soul. It's a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. But when you're looking at the context of what we're looked at so far, other than James, it has to do with the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel. Now, one more passage, I think it's Luke 22. Luke 22 is interesting because Jesus says, none of them is lost but the son of perdition. That means that everybody, all the apostles are saved. In Luke 22, look at verse, talking to Peter, look at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. That's plural, by the way. Have you. He wants all of you. That he may sift you as wheat, all of you. But I have prayed for thee. Who did he pray for? Peter, individually. That thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Well, now, wait a minute, I thought none of them was lost. So you see, it's a lot more complicated than you think. You know, he wasn't converted yet. He didn't understand the truth. He didn't understand the death, burial, and resurrection, things like that. All right, now go on back to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to have to adjust that air. Got to get me some air up here. Acts chapter 3, what does he say again? Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And, you know, there's people that look at that and they say, well, you know, they get really, you know, pretty confused. But Isaiah 43 says in verse 22, I am he that blotteth out transgressions and will not remember your sins anymore. Isaiah 44, I have blotted out thy transgressions. Psalm 51:9, David said, blot out mine iniquities. You know, talking about the blotting out. But what I want you to look at is Isaiah 66. When it says about a nation being born at one time. Isaiah 66 is the last chapter in the book of Isaiah. And I've told you this before, that Isaiah is a picture of the Bible in the Bible. So if you look at Isaiah chapter 1, it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. It aligns with Genesis. Isaiah 39 and 40, there's 39 books in the Old Testament. 1 through 39, they say one Isaiah wrote that, and 40 through 66, another Isaiah wrote that, because there's just a total difference in the way that it's written. Well, no, that's not what it is. Isaiah 1 through 39 is the Old Testament. It aligns there, and you can go in there and prove, like chapter 40. Well, the 40th book of your Bible is the book of Matthew. And what do you have in Matthew? You have John the Baptist. What do you have in the 40th chapter of Isaiah? Well, I tell you what, hold your place here and go over to that 40th chapter, because I want you to see it before we look at chapter 66. So if every chapter in Isaiah matches the Bible in the order of our Bible, then the 40th chapter would match Matthew with one crying in the wilderness. Look at what it says in verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That matches what's going on in Matthew with John the Baptist. So you see, that's the opening of the New Testament. That's why there's such a difference between the first 39 books. And even if you have a Scofield Bible, you see there's a line in between the two, making a separation between 39 and 40. Just very unusual, because there is such a difference. Now, look at the 66th chapter of Isaiah. If the 66th book matches the 66th chapter of Isaiah, then you would expect to see Revelation in here, right? Well, you do. Look at verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth. Where do you find the new heavens and new earth? Revelation. The last chapters of Revelation. Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven, new earth. So you see how that's lined up. Now what I want you to see, though, is I want you to look at Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who hath heard such a thing, and who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. You know what the Bible says? That Israel will be born in one day. That's still yet to happen. That's going to happen during the time of the book of Revelation. Another verse to look at, go on back, is in Romans chapter 11. Look at Romans chapter 11. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant of them when I shall take away their sins. That's what we're looking at in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 3. National repentance. It's a future thing. All Israel shall be saved, but not all that say, and that people say, well, I'm a Jew. Well, no, you're not. He said, if you claim to be a Jew, you claim to be of Israel. It's not just by birth. It's by the heart. And that's what he tried to tell him over and over again. Let me look at one more verse in here. Well, no, Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3 and move on. He says in verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What's the presence of the Lord? That's the second coming. So Israel won't have national repentance until they say in Matthew chapter 23, I think verse 39, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They're not going to turn to the Lord until the future time. We make them jealous. You'll see that in Romans 11, verse 26. We are to make them jealous. That is what it's all about. You say, boy, I sure am glad God chose that way, because listen, we didn't have any hope. We were outside Israel and we had no hope. We were without hope, without strength. And in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He always planned to get Israel to evangelize the world. Guess what Israel did not do? Every time you turned around, they were complaining that some Gentile came around, because they were so proud they were exclusive. But it was supposed to be the nation of Israel's job to evangelize the world. But they chose not to do that. Look at verse 20 then in Acts chapter 3. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. Again, notice it's all the prophets. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So how are all the kindreds of the earth be blessed? Well, Matthew 28:19 says, go into all nations. That's what they're supposed to do. And they chose not to do that. So they chose to, it's just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of those religious leaders, all they were concerned about was themselves. All they were concerned about was losing their position, their place. And God did not want that. God wanted the nation of Israel to be the one that went out into the world and brought all nations unto him. The Gentiles weren't supposed to be forgotten forever. It was just that those Jews did not do their job in bringing that about. Look at verse 26 again. Verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from your iniquities. What was the purpose? Well, first of all, let's look, having raised up Jesus, was Peter preaching the resurrection? Verse 26, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. Guess what Jesus was here for? To bless them. They didn't take the blessing. in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That was the point. The point was that Jesus came down to this earth and healed everybody. He healed people because it was foretold that, you know, that was going to happen. But that isn't why he came. He came to die on that cross. Now, it says, unto you first. So let's look at Romans chapter 11. And this is what confuses a lot of people, because in Paul's early ministry, he went to the Jew first. Now, in the Acts period, they went to the Jews only. You'll see that over and over again. They went to the Jews only. But Paul went to the Jew first, and he had these signs and wonders and things. And it was supposed to... I tell you what, turn to Romans 1 first. I knew there was something wrong. Romans 1 is time sensitive. Look at what he says in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also. He's writing to the Romans. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He went to the Jew first. Why in Acts 13? We read that. Remember, he says, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. What did he do first? He went in the synagogue and preached to the Jew. Acts 18, why does he say, lo, I turn to the Gentiles? He went in the synagogue and preached to the Jews first. What, in Acts 28, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. Why? Where was he? He was in the synagogue. He was preaching to those Jews. It was to them first. Now, today, it is not to the Jew first. The nation of Israel has been broken off, and we as a wild olive branch are grafted in among them. The Jew first was a time sensitive. The time is short, Paul says in Corinthians. And he had to reach those Jews before what? Before the Word of God was complete, before all the signs and wonders ceased. The signs and the wonders were for the Jew, to get them to understand that this was truly of God, that this was fulfillment of the Old Testament Scripture. Gentiles didn't know the Old Testament. They didn't understand the prophecy. They didn't understand what was foretold. So they weren't looking for these things, but the Jews should have understood that when the Messiah came, he was going to look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus, and he is the Messiah. But they rejected him because of what? Envy. Envy. That's why, by the way, we have church. Because not only do you have a doctrinal application of truth, but you have a practical application of truth. Envy will destroy you. Envy will destroy those around you. That's the practical application. That's what I end on today. I told you we're going to have prayer requests, so we'll go ahead and close in prayer. I'll ask to be taken offline, and we'll go from there. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. I just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct in all things. Lord, we love you and thank you for a word that is perfect. Lord, as technical as it may get,